One ordinary Sunday afternoon, six adults and three children gather for what should be a simple suburban barbecue. The hosts, Vid and Tiffany, are gregarious and welcoming, their backyard an extravagant paradise complete with a magnificent marble fountain. Their guests, Clementine and Sam, with their daughters Holly and Ruby, and Erica and Oliver, arrive with their own hidden agendas and complicated histories. Nobody suspects that by evening's end, their lives will be forever altered. What begins as casual conversation over grilled meat and flowing wine spirals into a catastrophe when 2-year-old Ruby falls into the fountain and nearly drowns. In those terrifying moments when her tiny body lies lifeless, each adult is forced to confront a devastating question. Where was I when it happened? And could I have prevented it? Clementine and Erica's relationship defies simple categorization. It's a friendship built on obligation rather than genuine connection. Since childhood, Clementine has felt responsible for Erica, whose mother Sylvia suffered from severe hoarding disorder. The mountains of newspapers and rotting food that filled Erica's childhood home drove her frequently to seek refuge with Clementine's family. This created a dynamic where Clementine felt perpetually obligated while simultaneously resenting Erica's presence. As adults, this tension persists beneath a veneer of normalcy. Erica, now a meticulous accountant who counts words obsessively and arranges food with mathematical precision, maintains her connection to Clementine with desperate intensity. Meanwhile, Clementine, a talented cellist preparing for a career-defining audition, finds Erica's presence draining yet cannot sever their bond. When Erica and Oliver invite Clementine and Sam over to discuss something important, a request for Clementine to donate her eggs after years of failed fertility treatments, the stage is set for conflict. How do you refuse such an intimate request from someone who's been part of your life for decades, even if that relationship has always felt like a burden? The novel's central catastrophe unfolds gradually through shifting perspectives. 2-year-old Ruby falls into Vid's ornate fountain when momentarily unsupervised. Erica notices what looks like an old coat in the water before realizing it's a child and screaming Clementine's name. Chaos erupts. Oliver performs CPR on Ruby's lifeless body while Sam paces in anguished circles, praying to a god he doesn't believe in. Clementine watches in horror, clutching Ruby's whisk toy. After terrifying minutes, Ruby finally responds as ambulance sirens approach. The scene is rendered with devastating clarity. Fairy lights twinkling, abandoned food plates, Yo-Yo Ma playing through speakers, all contrasting with the life or death drama. Later revelations add complexity. Neighbor Harry spotted Ruby approaching the fountain before dying alone after a fall. Most shocking, 5-year-old Holly had pushed Ruby during an argument, confessing only to Oliver, who advised her to whisper sorry and promised to keep her secret. In the aftermath, Clementine and Sam's marriage begins to crumble. They sleep separately, barely communicate, and parent inconsistently. Sam, who froze during the emergency while Oliver saved Ruby, suffers from undiagnosed PTSD. He can't sleep, his work suffers, and he constantly replays the accident. His shame manifests as anger toward Clementine, whom he blames for being distracted at the barbecue. Clementine processes trauma differently, giving water safety talks and focusing on her upcoming audition. She resents Sam's withdrawal while harboring her own guilt, both for Ruby's accident and her attraction to Vid during the barbecue. Their once passionate intimacy becomes awkward and mechanical. Healing begins when Sam breaks down during a first aid course, finally admitting his shame and agreeing to seek help. This vulnerability creates space for reconnection. On the way to her audition, Clementine tells Sam she chooses their marriage, a simple declaration marking their turning point. Their relationship begins rebuilding, not by forgetting what happened, but by finding a way forward together despite it. Everyone at the barbecue harbors secrets that shape their reactions to the tragedy. Tiffany's past as an exotic dancer becomes a focal point, but what remains hidden is her $100,000 sexual encounter with Andrew, a parent at Dakota's school. Vid has always known about this, recognizing her lies by the quiver of her left nostril. Erica's secret surfaces when Oliver discovers a suitcase of items she's stolen from Clementine over years. Ruby's flashing shoe, a Greek bracelet, her grandmother's pearl-handled scissors. This compulsive stealing, a remnant of her disordered childhood, threatens both her marriage and friendship with Clementine. Harry's bitterness is explained posthumously. He lost both his wife and son in an amusement park accident decades ago. His son Jamie's bedroom remained untouched for 50 years, preserved like a shrine. These hidden stories show how our pasts shape our present in unexpected ways. The barbecue becomes a catalyst exposing these secrets, forcing each character to confront parts of themselves they've kept hidden. Ruby's accident becomes not just physical trauma, but an emotional earthquake, revealing fault lines beneath these seemingly stable lives. In the aftermath of the barbecue, each character confronts their emotional burdens. Dakota begins healing after meeting the recovered Ruby, while Vid destroys the dangerous fountain in a cathartic outburst. Erica and Oliver abandon their pursuit of a biological child, instead considering fostering older children with trauma backgrounds. They recognize how their difficult childhoods equip them with unique empathy, a way to transform past pain into healing for others. Clementine's recovery intertwines with her music. During her orchestra audition, she draws strength from her daughter's stickers on her collar and remembers crucial advice: don't just play for them, perform, and at some point you just have to let go. These words transcend music to become life lessons as she channels her trauma into art, creating beauty from pain. Truly Madly Guilty's most profound insight is how quickly ordinary happiness can shatter. As Clementine reflects during Ruby's accident, nothing changes. You're still exactly the same person in the same world, just suddenly living a nightmare. Yet, the novel also affirms human connections' resilience. Despite trauma, characters rebuild relationships and create meaning from suffering. Seemingly irreparable marriages begin to heal. Friendships transform rather than dissolve. Parents learn to forgive their inevitable vigilance failures. In the final scenes, as Clementine prepares for her audition and Sam prevents a stranger's baby from rolling into traffic, we see how trauma has changed them, making them both more fragile and more attentive to life's precariousness. The barbecue becomes a catalyst for growth. Through confronting their worst fears and failures, characters discover unknown strengths and forge deeper connections. This is the paradox of surviving trauma. We emerge both more wounded and more aware, more fragile and more resilient. We learn that life can change instantly, and knowing this truth doesn't protect us from pain, but helps us appreciate ordinary moments that often go unnoticed until they're gone.